The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the July 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to go right to page 8, final line of Who's Who in Sports. Kevin De Bruyne, midfielder, Manchester City. His height is 5'11", his weight is 150 pounds. He was born June 28, 1991 in Drogon, Belgium. In his second season with Manchester City, De Bruyne had 8 goals to go with 16 assists, most in the English Premier League. He helped City to a 32-2-4 record and the 2017-2018 EPL title. In 2016-2017, he had 18 assists and 6 goals. He played for Chelsea the 2 seasons before that. During qualifying for the 2014 World Cup, De Bruyne scored 4 times for the Belgian national team, and he scored once at the tournament. Question: which team was the runner-up in the 2017-2018 Premier League standings? Do 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 do. Answer: Manchester United. Next we have Katie Lou Samuelson, guard forward for the University of Connecticut women's basketball team Huskies. Her height is 6'3". Her weight is 165 pounds. She was born June 13, 1997 in Fullerton, California. The 2017-2018 American Athletic Conference Player of the Year, Samuelson, a junior, led the Huskies with 17.4 points per game. She was a finalist for both the Wooden and Naismith National Player of the Year awards. In a win over South Florida in March 2017, Samuelson set an NCAA record for most three-pointers made without a miss, 10. Samuelson helped Team USA win the 2014 FIBA Under-17 World Championship, making the All-Tournament team and the Under-16 title in 2013. Question: who was the 2018 NCAA Women's Basketball Consensus National Player of the Year? Do 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 do. Answer: Asia Wilson of South Carolina. And finally, we have Andrew Landry, golfer, PGA Tour. His height is 5'7", his weight is 150 pounds. He was born August 7, 1987, in Port Neches Groves, Texas. Landry won his first PGA Tour event, the Valero Texas Open, in April. He shot 4 under par on the final day to finish at 17 under, 2 strokes ahead of Trey Mullinax and Sean O'Hare. The victory qualified Landry, who made his PGA Tour debut in 2015, but played on the Web.com Tour in 2017 for the 2019 Masters. In 3 seasons at the University of Arkansas, Landry set a school record with 25 top 10 finishes. He was named first team All-SEC in 2009. Question: who won the 2018 Masters? Do 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 do. Answer: it was Patrick Reed. Continuing with Camp Wannabe, use a wall for tennis drills with Jack Sock, ATP Tour player. As an 8-year-old, Sock fell so in love with tennis that his family painted a line across a wall in their basement in Nebraska at the same height as the net. I would go down there for hours after school or at night and volley and work on my hands, said the 25-year-old Sock, who is now one of the top Americans on the ATP Tour. Sock didn't have a lot of room, so he focused on volleying. If you have space, Sock suggests backing up to work on your ground strokes, too. Being comfortable at the net and not being scared to come in can be a big positive, he says. There are times you can finish at the net and end the point early instead of wasting more energy at the baseline. When practicing your volleys, make sure you're in ready position or in a split step. Your feet are shoulder width apart and you're on your toes. Then you're ready if it comes to your forehand or your backhand or it's high or it's low, he says. I would start out with all forehand volleys on your right side and go through all backhand volleys. And then, if you feel comfortable and you're gaining confidence, you can go back and forth and mix it up a little bit to challenge yourself. The same goes when practicing ground strokes. Sock didn't need extra motivation to practice. I was absolutely obsessed with tennis, he calls. But he says you could listen to music or watch videos of players that you like and then try to impersonate them. Says Sock, have fun and really just enjoy it. Save a penalty kick with Alyssa Nair, United States WNT goalkeeper. Penalty kicks are as much a mental battle as they are a physical one. I try to stay focused, look at the ball, not overthink what the opponents are going to do, and read what they are doing. I stare straight at the ball and wait until they start approaching the ball. Then I try to read from there if they're giving away any kind of cues, whether it's their plant foot or the direction of their hips, and then try to give myself the best chance to make a save. Sometimes you can look at the angle of approach of a player. I'll even try to think about the type of player that they are. Are they a powerful player, that they're just going to come up and smack it? Are they more of a finesse player, that they are going to pick a spot and go with it? I've played goalie since middle school. At that point, the most important thing is just being as patient as possible. Opponents don't have as much power behind their kicks. If you can wait until the very, very last second, you can actually see where the ball is going and give yourself a good chance instead of playing a guessing game. I still try to stay as patient as I can and leave my feet at the very last second. The best tell you're going to get from a player is probably as they are striking the ball, because you get the best read on it. If they are going to put the ball in the corner, you want to be able to get a good dive out of it. If they see me dive early, then they can just change their mind and patch it into the other side. I try to stay central and as upright as I can for as long as I can. With a penalty kick, you're not allowed to step off your line as the goalkeeper. If you can get yourself diving on a slightly forward or lateral angle instead of going backwards, then if you are able to get a hand to the ball, you're more likely to keep it out of the goal. Obviously, it's frustrating to let any goals in, but a penalty kick is tough. Having short-term memory as a goalkeeper is huge. You're going to have to do something else at some point. It could be 30 seconds after the penalty kick goes in or 30 minutes after. Or if it's the first kick of a penalty kick shootout, you still have to face four more, or more if you're still tied. Being able to let it go and move on and refocus for the rest of the game is the biggest piece. Next, we have Improve Your Footwork with A.J. Bouye, Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback. Bouye, a 5-year veteran corner, started every game for the Jaguars in 2017. Footwork is an important aspect of any athlete's game, but it is especially important for defensive backs who have to change directly and quickly while covering speedy wide receivers. Bouye suggested 3 drills that you can do at home to improve your footwork. Stick to the basics, he advises. As long as you're doing something every day or every other day on your own, you'll make improvements. You're already getting ahead of everyone. Rope ladder. I have a ladder at home. You could put it in the front yard on grass or on the ground in the driveway. Start by putting 1 foot in the first hole and the other foot in the second, like you're running forward. Then do it with both feet in each hole. Do a couple of reps of those and then go backwards and then sideways. When you get the hang of it, Google videos of people doing crossovers. Nobody's perfect starting out. Once you get the repetition and it comes easier, then it's really just muscle memory, and you're always moving your arms when you're moving your feet. Back pedal, brake 45, brake 90. Back pedal and then brake left or right at a 45-degree angle for 3 to 5 steps. Then you can do 90 degrees. Sometimes I turn my entire body because I act like I'm locating an imaginary receiver and I'm bursting out. These are the simple things you learn in middle school. We're still doing it in the NFL because it's the basics. W drill. I put cones down in the shape of a W, 3 yards apart. It's like back pedal 45, but you're doing it more than once. I start by back pedaling and braking to the right. Then I do it going back to the left. Pick up surfing with Bethany Hamilton, pro surfer. What is the secret to choosing a good wave? The more time you spend in the ocean, the better you become at picking good waves. Starting on small waves is the best so you can build your confidence. What are the best tips for popping up on the board? Once you catch the wave, put both arms on the board and do a push-up while bringing your legs beneath you to stand all the while looking where you are going. Then bend your knees, put your arms out for balance, and enjoy the ride. What advice would you give young surfers? I enjoyed a junior lifeguard program that helped me understand the ocean, especially currents. I recommend that for all kids wanting to get into surfing, I always surf with my friends and parents too. Get off the blocks with Reese Whitley, 2015 Sports Kid of the Year and the Cal Recruiting Class of 2018. Make sure the block is dry. Nobody likes slipping. I just use a regular towel. Then I take a deep breath. When I step up, I make sure I'm centered and not jittery. You don't want to false start or be too hyper when you get in the water. Curl your front foot over the top of the block and keep your back foot flexed so that you're on the ball of that foot. A lot of kids put their thumbs on the block, but grabbing the whole front of the block with all 5 of your fingers is better for your start. Have your hands shoulder width apart. Stay comfortable and stay patient. When it's time to go, use every last bit of your power in your legs. Really engaging your thighs and your calf muscles is the key to getting off the block as fast as possible. As I got older and started to get stronger, using my arms became a huge thing. You need to use your whole body. If you can execute that when you're as young as possible, that's going to be very effective. Health and wellness. Camp Wanna Win. Polish your push-up form with Jillian O'Neill, New York City personal trainer and dietitian. Step 1, get in position. Start on your hands and knees, making sure your wrists are just outside of your shoulders. Your fingers should point the same direction as your spine. From there, step 1 foot back at a time and tuck your toes underneath your ankles. Do a body scan, working from your toes to your shoulders and back down. Make sure your ankles are still above your toes. If having your feet together is too challenging, you can step them wider so that your feet are the same width as your hands. Think about squeezing your thighs together, squeezing your glutes, and pulling your belly button toward your spine. Relax your shoulders. Don't shrug them. Now you're ready for a push-up. Step 2. Lower yourself down. Think about bringing your chest toward the floor and pushing straight back up. Your elbows should be at a 45-degree angle at their lowest point and shoot backward on an angle, not straight out to the sides. Think about your spine staying in a straight line. Don't let it bend. Keep your shoulders away from your ears and look straight down at the floor, almost as if you're holding an apple between your chin and your chest. Modified push-ups. Choose a park bench, the edge of your bed, or any other stable surface that is higher than the floor. The goal would be to get lower and lower toward the ground. Use the same form while you're on the incline. Tips. Inhale as you go toward the ground and exhale as you push away from the ground. To make either version more challenging, you can point your elbows straight back towards your hips. Cook up some kale chips. Number one, preheat oven to 350 degrees. Number two, with a sharp knife, carefully cut out the thick center rib from each kale leaf. An easy way to do this is to fold each leaf in half along the stem. Then run your knife adjacent to the stem, separating it from the leaf. Then cut the leaves into bite-sized pieces. Number three, wash the kale pieces and lay them out on a kitchen towel to dry. It's very important that the leaves are dry, so don't skip this step. Number four, spread the kale pieces out on two cookie sheets. Drizzle with olive oil, kosher salt, and fresh ground pepper. Number five, using your hands, massage the oil into the leaves, making sure each piece has a good coating of oil. Spread the kale out again in a single layer on each sheet. Number six, bake to 12 to 15 minutes, rotating the pans halfway through. The kale chips are done when they are crisp and the edges are slightly browned. Number seven, cool the chip for 3 minutes on the baking sheet. Throw them on a platter, add a sprinkle of salt, and dig in. Page 36, Head Games, from Camp Wanna Win. Broaden your horizons. Bennett, who retired this spring after a 10-year NFL career, started a production company called the Imagination Agency in 2014. Since then, he's come out with a handful of cool projects, including two children's picture books, an animated film, and a comic book. He also collaborated on a chocolate bar and a shoe line. My advice would be to try, try, try. Keep trying things, new things. If you're good at something, keep working and be good at that thing, but then try to discover what else you're good at. Try an instrument. You never know. You might love it. It's like food. You never know if you're going to like it until you taste it, right? Then you still may not like it after you taste it, but at least you tried it. Before I created the Imagination Agency, I always made stuff. When I was in college, I had a company called Mood Swings, and I used to make clothing and sell it on campus. When I first got into the NFL, I used to be in an alternative hip-hop group. I used to travel and perform with them, and I used to do a lot of art shows. My entire life, while playing football, I always needed art to balance. As I got older, I was like, I could turn this into a business. This is something I really love to do. Then I started the Imagination Agency, and I was like, I'm going to make cartoons. I'm going to make books. I'm going to do all these things. I've always dabbled with and experimented with art in my free time, and now I want to do it forever. Ignore Haters, with Adam Rippon, Olympic bronze medalist. Throughout your life, you may run into people who may not be nice to you. I think the most important thing I've ever learned is that you should treat everyone you meet the way you want to be treated. You should be kind. You should do nice things for other people, even if they haven't done something nice for you. If you're doing that, you know that at the end of the day, you're a good person, and you're doing everything you should do to spread joy to other people. If you're able to do that, then you can pursue the things you have a passion for. If you do things that you love and you treat others the way you want to be treated, you'll feel good about yourself. There will always be people who will want to say something mean because they think they're being funny or it's a way of lifting themselves up to bring others down. I think you need to take a moment, especially online, to respond to at least three positive people before you even engage in the negative. By the time you do that, you realize that the negative comment even worth your time or your energy. You don't need to drag yourself down to that negative space. If you focus on the positive things and the nice things that people have to say to you and about you, you'll realize the negative things really aren't worth the worry. Page 37. Play with a lead or mount a comeback, with Chris Middleton, Milwaukee Bucks guard. On February 25th, the Bucks had a 66-49 lead over the New Orleans Pelicans at halftime. By the end of the third quarter, that 17-point margin had been erased, and Milwaukee ended up losing in overtime. What happened? we relaxed, says Middleton. We thought the game was over. When you have a lead, Middleton says, you still want to keep that aggressive mentality that got you the lead. Stay on the attack. If you got ahead for playing up tempo, you want to keep doing that. When you slow it down, most of the time it ends up killing the rhythm of your team. And what if you're on the other side? Set goals when you're down, big. If you're down 20, try to cut it to 15 by next time out. Think in little increments within the game. Once you try to start making a home run play to get it all back on one possession, that's when it gets worse. And the most important thing, never give up. No, it's not over until that final buzzer blows. Compete alongside a sibling with Alex and Maya Shibutani, Olympic bronze medalist. Alex, it's all about seeing it as a shared experience. No matter what level you participate at, there are so many lessons you can learn. The opportunity to play a sport and share it with someone you're close to is unique. You're really fortunate if you and your sibling are able to do something together beyond just growing up. We're lucky we're able to work together. Maya, if you're on the same team, just appreciate it. It's a rare thing to be able to work with family, and there's no bond that's stronger. Continuing Camp Want to Win, Camp Life. Crush your campmates in cornhole with Matt Guy, World Cornhole Champion. One of the best sports to play casually outdoors in the summertime is cornhole. To beat your fellow campers, however, you're going to need better technique than just pitching the bag like a softball. So we asked six-time King of Cornhole title holder Matt Guy for some tips. Number one, get a grip. Let the bag sit on top of your fingers. With your fingers running across the middle of the bag and your thumb just resting on the top. Two, aim right down the middle. Whether your bag goes in the hole or not, if it is in the middle of the board, at least you're blocking your opponent. Aim 12 to 18 inches below the hole, right dead in the middle. And three, spin the bag with a flick of the wrist. Rotate your wrist back as your arm swings back. Then rotate it forward as the arm comes forward, because you want the bag to be as flat as possible with as much spin as possible. Your backswing should be fluid and come just past your right leg, if you're right-handed, with a smooth forward swing for the release. Make a duct tape wallet. Create the body of the wallet. Tear off four strips of duct tape that are 9 inches long. Lay down the first strip on your kitchen counter or plastic cutting board, sticky side down. Working from the bottom up, layer each strip on the top of the previous piece with 1/2 inches of overlap. Next, pull the duct tape sheet off the counter and flip it over. Tear off the four new 9-inch strips of duct tape in an alternate color. Stick your new strips to the sheet you just made, but start about 1/2 inch down from the top. Fold the edges over the top and bottom of your sheet. Next, trim the edges with scissors. Your finished sheet should be about 8.5 inches wide by 6 inches tall. Make the pockets. Tear off 5-inch strips. Place one sticky side down, then layer the second one with 1/2 inch of overlap. Flip over and stick on 2 more 5-inch strips, starting 1/2 inch down as in previous step. Trim edges so that this pocket measures 4 inches wide by 3 inches tall. Style your autograph with Charlie Blackman. Like most kids, Blackman spent time practicing his autograph in the event he became famous. And he did. There are two schools of thought, he says. Some of the old school guys tell me that you need to be able to read your autograph really, really well. But for me, I like having a bunch of scribbles in there. It's basically me writing in cursive as fast as I can. And then I put my number at the end so that if you can't read it, which you probably can't, at least you know who it is. Perfect your cannonball with Reese Whitley. Safety first. Make sure nobody is under the diving board and all things are clear. Then you have to commit. You can't do it lazily. You have to go all out. You have to engage your core and get it in as tight as of a ball as possible with your arms around your legs. That's the easiest cannonball position. I land on my bottom because that usually makes for the best splashes. I get my coach, Crystal Coleman, all the time during practice. Stay on target with Brady Ellison, Olympic archer. When taking up archery, there are a few things you need to know. The first is the stance. It's best to stand with your feet shoulder-width apart, facing the target sideways. Stand very straight. Only your arms will move. Once you're comfortable with your stance, hold the bow in one hand in front of you with your arms slightly bent. Fit the arrow into the string and with the free hand, draw the string back against your cheek. When you're ready, relax your hand and let it fly. Once you've got that main motion down, says Ellison, a three-time Olympic medalist, it's all about repetition. Don't worry about where the arrow lands just yet. Aiming comes later, he says. If you start trying to aim before you have body control of what you're doing, you will get target panic. So get the motion down, relax, and have fun. Like a father. The future of baseball looks a lot like the past. That was never more evident than back in late March when the Toronto Blue Jays played a two-game exhibition series against the St. Louis Cardinals in Montreal. In the second game, Vlad Guerrero Jr., a 19-year-old minor leaguer who joined the Blue Jays for the series, launched a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth for a 1-0 victory. For the 25,816 in attendance, it was a living flashback. Guerrero's father, Hall of Fame outfielder, began his career with Montreal Expos, who in 2005 became the Washington Nationals. Now he was another number 27 circling the bases after a titanic blast, sending the fans home happy just like days long past. Vlad Jr. isn't the only familiar name leading in Major League Baseball's next wave. Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr., son of ex-big leaguer Fernando, Padres starter Cal Quantrill, son of longtime reliever Paul, and twin shortstop Nick Gordon, younger son of pitcher Tom, are all on Baseball America's 2018 Top 100. And then there are players who joined Guerrero on the opening day roster on the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Toronto's AA affiliate. Bo Bichette, number 8 on BA's list, and the son of slugger Dante and Calvin Biggio, who has a Hall of Fame father of his own in Craig. It's a luxury having those guys, Fisher Cats manager John Schneider says. I literally got to write Bichette, Biggio, Guerrero in my lineup. Being a second-generation prospect can be an advantage. Spending time around big leaguers since childhood helps young players survive this season's ups and downs. When Vlad Jr. takes his hacks in a batting cage, it's easy to see the connection. Like his father, Vlad the younger boasts a whip-like swing with lethal bat speed. He had the same ability to routinely lace ball to all fields with an exit velocity of 100 miles or more. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is under Ring Wrist support from the Ronald Kawanen Foundation. They can be reached at www.kawanenfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.